Hey there, this is Sarah Bone, and I'm so happy you're joining me on the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our hope that these words help you know who Jesus is and what he's done for all of us. Thanks for listening. Now let's dive in.
This morning, I have the privilege of continuing a series that we started last week that we are simply calling Jesus in Love, designed to ask the question, what did Jesus's relationships on earth look like? What did Jesus's love look like in his human relationships on earth? And do I show up in my relationships with the same love that Jesus showed up with in his relationships? Man, and in this season, as we turn the corner and we head into the holidays, what a great time to be wrestling with the question. We exist to show and share the love of Jesus Christ. Are we showing up in our relationships the way Jesus shows up in his? We are going to rub shoulders with people we don't interact with much. We're going to rub shoulders with people we don't necessarily like very much on occasion. Are we going to show up with the kind of love Jesus showed up with in his relationships? Thankfully, we don't have to guess how Jesus showed up. The Bible paints so many different pictures, and we wanted to peer into those and just ask the question, is this what we look like when we show up in our relationships? And this morning, we want to talk about Jesus and how he showed up and loved in his friendships. Because I don't know if you knew this, but Jesus had friends. I am going to repeat that more times than you like this morning, because Jesus had friends. I'm going to just long to see that marinate into our systems, because Jesus had friends. I don't mean like Jesus had ministry projects. I mean, Jesus had meaningful friendships. Friendships mattered to Jesus. And whether we realize it or not, by the way, friendships matter immensely to us. Friendship and social connection, interestingly, are high predictors of how long a person is going to live and what the quality of their life is actually going to be. Research suggests that friendships make you less likely to suffer from depression and less likely to die prematurely from heart conditions or other chronic illnesses. A study of about 308,000 people or so, interestingly, revealed that having no friends or having low-quality friends was more hazardous to your health than smoking 20 cigarettes a day, which is fascinating to me. And one of the fascinating things to me is, like, I wonder who volunteered for this research project. Like, yeah, I will puff 20 cigarettes a day for the cause. For research, Mom, it's for research. Friendships matter. Going through something difficult with a friend by your side actually lowers the intensity of your heart rate. A study was done which showed that when you have a friend by your side, you will actually see a mountain as smaller than it actually is. You will see it as less steep and even smaller than it actually is, which is fascinating to me and also very true when I think about some of the obstacles my life has encountered and what difference it makes when I have somebody journeying with me. Friendships matter. They affect your health mentally, physically, spiritually. They affect your perspective. Biblical research, interestingly enough, agrees with scientific research, suggesting that science may be onto something. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 reads this way. This is how the book of Psalms opens. Blessed, completely happy. How completely happy, it says, is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. That's how the book of Psalms starts, by saying who you spend time sitting, standing, and walking with will help determine how stable or shaky your world is. And so the psalmist starts with a warning. How completely healthy and happy and whole is the person who does not hang out with people like this? Affects not just your physical and your mental health, but your spiritual direction and stability as well. So it makes sense when you hear statements thrown around like this, that you are the average of your five closest friends. That would make sense, that the people you're associating with, sitting with, hanging with, whether it's via text, whether it's on a snap streak, like whatever it might be, the people you spend the most time with are great determiners of the quality and the direction of your mental, physical, and spiritual health. Friendships matter. It shouldn't be no surprise when you hear statements like, show me your friends and I'll show you your future, because the direction in which the people around you are moving, the perspective they help bring, affects you as a whole being. Friendships matter. They impact who and where you end up. But the question we want to ask this morning is a question that I don't know that we ask often enough, because frankly, it's not a question our parents asked us often enough. And the question is, okay, then what kind of friend are you? What kind of friend are you? It's interesting. When I was growing up, my parents' primary concern was what kind of friends I associated with, and what kind of people I need to watch out for, and what kind of people I need to avoid, and what kind of peers should or should not be pressuring me. The question was about friend-proofing my world. But I suspect that on the day in which I give a reckoning for my life, the greater question will be, what kind of friend are you? How does your friendship affect the mental and physical health of the people in your world? How does your friendship affect the spiritual outlook and outcome? If somebody is associated with you, what direction does their life then begin to move in? Whose mountains seem smaller and less steep because you are standing beside them? Friendships matter, but a key question is, what kind of friend am I? We'll come back to that, but first let's peer in on Jesus and see if we can get a sense of what his friendships looked like. Here's a story that if you've been around Mission Point, then you are pretty familiar with. This is Luke chapter 10. And we'll start reading at verse 38. If you have a copy of the Bible, you can meet me there. Otherwise, the verses will appear on the screen. Luke chapter 10. Let's peer in on Jesus' friendships and see what those might have looked like. Verse 38, here's what it says. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened up her home to him. So Jesus and his 12 closest friends, because I don't know if you knew, but Jesus had friends. They were going from one city to another. And the insinuation that Luke makes is that Jesus made a slight change to their itinerary and decided to take a detour and make a pit stop in this town called Bethany to spend some time with some friends of his. Because I don't know if you knew, but Jesus had friends. And we meet one of these friends, a woman named Martha. She owns this house in Bethany, and she welcomes Jesus to stay at her place. Martha likely lives with her two siblings, a brother whose name is Lazarus. And Lazarus, you may know him from other Jesus episodes, such as like, oh, my Lord, raise me from the dead one time. Like that same guy, Lazarus. And she had a sister named Mary, who in a future episode is going to pour expensive perfume on Jesus' feet and then dry it with her hair. That Mary. In his version of the story of Jesus' life, John, one of Jesus' disciples, talking about this trio of siblings, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, says that Jesus loved them deeply. They were friends that Jesus loved deeply. Because I don't know if you knew, but Jesus had friends. Now, we don't know how they became friends. We don't know what the initial connection was. We don't know what they did to necessarily deepen the bond of friendship. But we know that when we get invited in, Jesus considers them dear friends and he loves them deeply. So it's no surprise that as he's on his way somewhere, he makes a detour to stop in Bethany to hang out with his friends. And it's no surprise that Martha opens up her home for Jesus to come and stay with her. Let me just pause for a moment and say, Jesus had friends. And I just want to let that sink in for a moment. Because listen, if you grew up in the church, the way I grew up in the church, this is a difficult concept to believe. You will hear that Jesus stopped at Mary and Martha's place, and I'm telling you, if you're honest, you will over-spiritualize this and make it out to be some kind of a mission trip that Jesus is on. You will start to think, well, Jesus must be, these siblings must be a ministry project for Jesus. You will mistake this as a situation where, well, obviously Jesus came to pray and preach to these siblings. It will not even occur to you that Jesus maybe stopped by to perch and play. Like he stopped by because he likes them and he wants to hang out and spend time with his friends. So I'm really asking you, do you believe that Jesus had friends? In fact, do you believe that Jesus has friends now? Because if you struggle with this, you will view yourself as some kind of a ministry project that is always just trying to fix up. And he's always got a word to preach to you. And he's interceding at the side of the Father. And it's just this project, spiritually speaking. And you will miss the fact that Jesus delights in his friendship with you. Like, wait, Jesus, you just want to hang out with me? Not to yell at me for something, not to fix something I've done, not to correct something. Just to be with me, do you believe that Jesus has friends? It should not surprise you that he just wanted to hang out. Verse 39, we already knew this, Luke, but we'll read it anyway. She, Martha, had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? tell her to help me. The Bible, it's so good. This is how we get introduced to Martha. She is running around the house frantic and frenzied. She's in the kitchen again, like I picture her, like just with a mile-long list of things that have to get finished if Jesus is going to have a meal to remember. If Jesus is going to have the slumber party of his life, then things need to get done. And she is on a mission checking things off her to-do list. Hospitality awards, they don't win themselves. You've got to work. And so Martha is working. Can I picture her in the kitchen? And again, you've heard my vivid imagination. Like she's standing with flour on her what would Jesus do apron. Like she's just in the middle of getting things ready when she notices the pattern seems to continue. She is the only person working. Everybody else is out in the living room hanging out. I am over here laboring for Jesus while everyone else is just listening to Jesus. And you can get the sense that she starts to get fired up. She starts to get worked up. And she's mumbling under her breath, Jesus, Lord Jesus, Jesus. You know, I don't know what she says when Jesus is a friend like that, but she's mumbling stuff, you know, under her breath. Nothing is happening. She starts to bang pots and pans extra loud, and nothing is happening. And she finally just has enough. And so she has her little Kanye moment, and she just busts up into the living room like, Jesus, I'm going to let you finish in a minute. But here's the situation. Like, I'm sorry, but everybody seems fine to just be hanging around while I am over here. Everyone is sitting around while I'm over here serving you, Jesus. No one wants to lift a finger. I pay the bills. I pay the mortgage. This is my house. I pay the cable bill. I pay the internet bill. I pay even for her phone, this little moochin Mary, and she's not doing anything to help me. But thankfully, someone is in the house who she will finally listen to. So Jesus, get her. Jesus, that's your cue. Like, let the getting commence. Anytime now. Okay, let's freeze the frame and we'll come back to this in a second. Can we just pause and recognize the fact that Jesus had friends? And can we just pause and recognize the fact that if this is what being a Martha means, sign me up. Matter of fact, I've recently been praying for this in my friendship with Jesus. This is beautiful. The kind of friendship with Jesus that carries the level of safety and security which would allow her to barge in and talk to Jesus like this? Yo. This is exactly how I would talk to my friend. Like that. Jesus, are you seriously going to sit there? I know you know what I'm doing. I know you know how much I'm doing. And she's just sitting around here. I appreciate all of them, but her in particular, sibling rivalry. Like, are you just going to sit there and let me do all of this work by myself? She even asks him, like, don't you care? And then she starts bossing him around. Tell her to come help me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she's snapping. I wasn't there. But there is definitely some attitude in the text. I love this. By the way, if you don't have friendships in which you can speak your mind clearly and plainly and with attitude, then you don't have friendships like Jesus had friendships, because Jesus had friends. And I'm like, Jesus, teach me to come into your presence like Martha. Not worrying that I'm somehow interrupting you because you're in the middle of doing something really, really important. Not feeling like, well, but my issue is just not significant in the grand scheme of things. Like, teach me to come into your presence because something in my life just feels unfair and it doesn't feel right. And so I'm barging in, snapping my fingers. Because that's what I would do to a friend. Not feeling like you have bigger problems and bigger issues to deal with. And listen to me, if you don't believe that Jesus had friends, you will never come to him like this. Jesus, you're going to sit here like you don't see my husband choosing work and the game over me and the kids. Like, don't you care? And you keep letting his team win? Smite them or something. God, you know my teenagers are speaking to me with this sass and attitude. I'm not saying like hurt them, but I'm saying like send a message, Lord. Send a message. Like, God, I'm doing the right thing and I'm living the right way. I'm trying to honor boundaries in my relationships and they're not. And they always seem happier than I am. It ain't right. It ain't right. I'm eating healthy and I'm exercising and this is the health diagnosis I get when Mr. 20 cigarettes a day over here keeps getting a clean bill of health. I'm sorry, Jesus. I know there's major things happening in the world, but I'm gonna let you finish in a minute. Excuse me. I'm like, make me more like Martha, but I will never be more like Martha if I don't believe Jesus actually had friends. This is friendship. Do you believe Jesus had friends? Is this you? Or are you like, Lord, sovereign one, I praise you that I have a husband who is currently less than ideal, shall I say. So I beg you, God, by your grace to intervene. And there's a time for that. But friendship, you come in raw because you believe he is a safe place. Anyway, back to the story, because Martha actually has a legit point. Can we be honest? Now, as many of you might know, I tend to personally side with Mary in my practice, but I agree with Martha in principle. And my wife would say, amen. Amen, that is very true. Very true. Mary does nothing except sit with Jesus while Martha is doing all of the work of serving Jesus, making her home a place where Jesus can have the most enjoyable experience. Now, Martha has gotten a bad rap over the years, but she's kind of amazing. Matter of fact, we all need to be a little more like Martha. And we definitely all need friends like Martha. If you don't have friends like Martha, everyone will keep talking about we should get together sometime. But no one actually plans it. No one actually starts the group text. No one actually sends the calendar invite. Everyone just keeps talking about all the stuff we should do sometime. And it's been 12 years. None of y'all got together. If you don't have a friend like Martha, you will have a blast all the way to jail. You need someone to actually read the rules and maybe perhaps share them with the rest of us. Without Martha, bills don't get paid. Or at my house, trial subscriptions don't get canceled. And so it's 20 years later, it's like, what is this $45,000 Napster subscription? I'm like, I forgot to cancel it. I forgot to cancel it, okay? Without Martha, I'm just telling you, you don't actually have the house in which the party is being held. It's her house! The whole story starts by telling us this. We all need high capacity doers who pay for the house where the rest of us get to hang out. And Martha is here doing all of this stuff for who? For Jesus. She's all up in the unto the Lord. Whatever ye do, do as unto the Lord. That's what she's doing. Using her gifts to serve, taking care of her business. So you would kind of expect Jesus to chime in and just let Mary have it. You little sit-arounder. I did not know that you were abdicating your chores. But Jesus, always full of surprises, says nothing of the sort. He says, Martha, Martha, verse 41. And the repetition of her name again in the language is this incredibly intense tenderness to his voice, making sure that she has his full attention and vice versa. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. You are worried and upset about many things. Which, if you just read that, it almost sounds like Jesus is gaslighting her a little bit. You seem frustrated. Are you frustrated? You seem to be concerned about a variety of different things, right? Yeah, I'm upset. The list keeps growing and no one is helping me, especially that one right there by your feet. Responsibilities don't stop coming. Martha, Martha, that's not what I mean. I mean you are letting too many things define and distract you. You are giving too many things the power to determine your sense of worth. You are letting too many things color your mood ring, girl. Like you are letting too many things deter your joy. You are giving the power to your to-do list to determine whether your soul has permission to smile. Martha, Martha. I can't imagine how Martha's processing this. Like, what? But you've got to be kidding me. I'm sorry, Jesus. Do you not understand that things have to get done? What are you, like an Enneagram 7? Unless, of course, Enneagram is from the devil, then I take that back, Jesus. But what are you? Things need to get done. Dinner actually needs to get made. Like, kids actually need to get picked up from school. There's laws about this kind of thing. Church services need to get planned and carried out. Like, what do you mean? There is a list of things that actually need to get done. So excuse me, but I'll feel happy and I'll feel worthy and I'll enjoy life after this list gets checked off. You work, Jesus, and then you play. Not only do these things need to get done, Jesus, these things need to get done for you. I am doing all of this for you. verse 42. Jesus says, yeah, but few things are needed. Or indeed, only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Martha, Martha, I do care. I do see you running around. And I do know how long your to-do list is. I know all of the things that need to get checked off. And I do know how important they are. But I'm telling you, they don't actually need to get done for your soul to smile from cheek to cheek. Those things don't actually have to get done for your heart to have permission to experience joy. The mountain of things doesn't have to get done in order for you to feel a sense of worth and significance. You don't need the house to be perfect for you to be good. You don't need all of those things checked off. He says, you need only one thing. And Mary has chosen that one thing. Just be with me. Woo! This is powerful. Martha, you don't need to do all of that for you. And Martha, you certainly don't need to do all of that for me. There is one thing you need more than anything else, and there is one thing I want more than anything else. Be my friend. Sit with me. Enjoy my presence. You are an incredible host. In fact, no greater host in the county. But don't you know, Martha, I would much rather have you be my friend. Martha, no one can serve like you can serve. No one can check off a to-do list like you can check off a to-do list. But don't you know, I'd much rather have you sit with me than serve me. You think what I want most is what you do for me. What I want most is for you to just be with me. This is beautiful. Woo! And so freeing, by the way, if we had time to talk about the hints of the gospel in what Jesus is saying to Martha. Because you imagine, if I was Jesus, this would be the moment to flex. I'm sorry. You thought I came all the way to Bethany. You thought I took a detour so you could cook for me? I am a food-making machine. I make bread rain from heaven. I can multiply bread. Matter of fact, I am the bread of life. Ask these hoodlums. Tell her about that one time. Remember that kid with the two fish and the five loaves? What did I do? You multiplied it. And what happened? You fed 20,000 people. And everyone went home with a doggy bag. That's right. I don't need you to do anything for me. I don't know if you knew, but Jesus had friends. And if you don't believe that, you'll believe he came all the way from heaven so you could do all of this stuff for him. And Jesus is like, I can do all of it by myself. The only thing I can do by myself is be with you. And this is eternal life. Not that they would serve me. I didn't need more serving, but that they would know the one true God and me, Jesus Christ, whom I have sent. And in Philippians chapter 3, Paul gets to the end of his life after 30 years of following Jesus. Like, you know what I want? I just want to know him. I just want to know you. And if you don't believe that Jesus is friends, you will wake up in the morning and you will rush to your to-do list long before you just sit in his presence and be like, I get another day with you. Can I just sit and enjoy you? Matter of fact, if you don't believe Jesus had friends, you will seldom speak of your relationship with Jesus as someone to enjoy, to sit with. You will speak of your relationship with Jesus as a to-do list of things that needs to get done if Jesus is going to smile and have the time of his life. And Jesus is like, you think I came from heaven to earth? But I was served perfectly in heaven before I came to see y'all. I took this holy detour so we could be friends. This is such a beautiful moment. Friendship matters. It mattered to Jesus. It matters to us. The question is, what kind of friend are you? Do you show up in friendship like Jesus showed up and continues to show up? Three questions. Question number one, are you a seeking friend? Are you a seeking friend like Jesus? The story starts with Jesus kind of going out of his way to go to Bethany to see and spend time with Mary and Martha. That is so beautiful. And by the way, that's how Jesus friends me. It's like he goes out of his way for me. Like, why? Is this how you show up in friendships? Meaning, let me ask you a few questions. Are you the kind of friend who takes the initiative to show up and check in? Are you the kind of friend that takes the initiative to seek and sit with your friends? Are you the kind of friend who goes out of your way to be with your friends? Are you the kind of friend who takes the initiative to check in? I have so much growing to do in this regard. I have so much confessing to do in this regard, because I tend to be way too out of sight, out of mind. Worse than that, I can tend to be the friend who, if you don't pursue me, I won't pursue you. And I need to acknowledge that is not how Jesus shows up in friendships. If everyone else has to do the initiating, if everyone else has to do the seeking, I'm not being a friend like Jesus. Can you imagine what would be left of the gospel if Jesus didn't take the initiative to show up in our world? If he waited for us to take the initiative? I'm asking you, are you a seeking friend? And can we just put this out on the table? Too busy is just code for bad friend. I would, but I'm too busy. You're just a bad friend. Now, don't get me wrong. You can't be friends with everyone. So I think one of the things we need to be honest and do is just redefine who our friends actually are. You can't be friends with 50 people. I'm sorry. This is not Instagram. Right? This is IRL. You cannot be friends with that many people. If I cannot take the initiative to enter into your space and to sit with you and to walk with you, then I need to acknowledge, like, oh, bro, we were friends in high school. But we're not friends now. Now, we're brothers or brother and sister or we're acquaintances. And as the Lord brings you to mind, I will pray for you. I'll even check on you randomly. But my friends, that's a group of people I need to be honest and say, like, yeah, I should have margin or make margin to be able to check in on a somewhat regular basis. I tend to be busy with what's in front of me, and that can become an excuse, or I can feel overwhelmed, like, but there's too many people. Well, yeah, I can love a lot of people, but friendship, that is different. And for some of us, we need to actually ask the question, like, who are still my friends? Like, well, that was the best man in my wedding. When was the last time you spoke to him? 14 years ago. Okay, well, maybe this was the best man in your wedding, and that's it. So recently, I've recommitted to putting my friends on my calendar to make sure that I can cut through the busy and show up like Jesus. And that's something I'm just recommitting to, because it's good for their souls and it's good for mine. And I cannot even tell you how odd and uncool that feels. Like, wait, you are going to put your friendships on your calendar? Like, yep. Because I'm not in high school or college anymore. And it took me a long time to just acknowledge that. Like, in high school, it's like, hey, we hang out. We see each other all the time. And we'd be like, hey, there you are. Then in college, like, oh, we're in the cafeteria. What's up? Hey, what's up? And it starts to, and then you go out of college and you just believe, like, hey, we're just going to organically just run into each other. And all of a sudden, you're like, nope, it takes a different level of intentionality. Matter of fact, even in college, it takes a level of intentionality not to just see each other and hang out with each other, but to actually sit and spend time checking in with each other. So it's like, my friends are going on my calendar because I want to be intentional in pursuing and initiating the way Jesus was. Are you a seeking kind of friend? Are you, second question, are you a safe friend? Well, we saw this and it bears repeating. Martha could speak her mind to Jesus without fear of retribution or rejection. Jesus had obviously proven himself the kind of person who could listen and love his friend in her rawest moments of honesty. And I love that Jesus responds to Martha's intensity with tenderness. She's like, Jesus, don't you care? That's a little aggressive. Tell her to. That's a little bossy. And Jesus is so safe with her. He responds with tenderness, Martha, Martha. He doesn't reprimand her. He doesn't mansplain anything. He doesn't quote 50 scriptures. He has become such a safe place for her to fall apart and just be real and raw and honest. And I'm asking you, are you that kind of a place for your friends? And two good questions for that. Number one, are you the kind of person that your friends can confront when they're disappointed or you did something messed up? Or is there fear that you're going to get defensive, you're going to get aggressive, you're going to lash out, and so no one even, you're the emperor's new clothes, no one actually tells you anything? Because they're afraid of how you will respond. And if you don't know, just ask the people around you. Like, do you feel the freedom to come and confront me about something that I'm not doing right? Are you that kind of friend? This to me has become an incredible point of conviction for me. And I want to take initiative to ask some people, like, am I that person? And the other question is, Do your friends confide in you about their sin and their struggle and their disappointments? Or is everything about surfacey sports scores and successes? Because if that's the case, they may not feel safe around you. And that ought to invite the question, Jesus, how can I borrow your truthful tenderness and become a safe place for the people in my world and listen to me in this season, especially around the holidays? What our world needs and what friends need right now is safe places where they can come and just share, like, this is what is going on and this is the mountain that is in front of me and this is a place in which I feel like I am breaking. Are you that kind of a safe friend? To be a friend like Jesus is to create safety, leading with tenderness, meeting with tenderness. It's truthful, but it's tender. Look at the story. Jesus tells Martha what he thought, but not in some mean or unkind way. It is very inviting. Martha, Martha, please come and be with me. And are you a selfless friend? I love that in this story. Jesus is not in this friendship for what's in it for him. Martha, I'm not here because of what you can do for me. I made the effort to come here just to be with you. Matter of fact, I have more to give you . I'm less interested in what I can get from you. Man, we are so opportunistic in our relationships. In fact, that's why we tend to reach out to each other, because we need something. Are you the taker in your friendships? Are you the person who takes the people in friendship for granted?
I mean, but she likes to cook. I like to eat.
It feels like the perfect friendship.
She enjoys it. I mean, he loves to pay for lunch, and I love to fake like I even brought my wallet in from the car. It works out. No, you're just somebody who takes advantage of somebody else's generosity. That to be a friend like Jesus is to lead with what I give, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. The best Jesus-like friends are the friends who are constantly looking for excuses to step in and ask, what can I bring to this friendship? I am way too opportunistic in my relationships. And I need to go on a fast from asking anything. I just need to go into, like, how can I serve you? What can I bring to this? How can I give the way Jesus gave? And imagine if this holiday season, physical and mental and spiritual health glowed with new life because of the way Jesus' friends showed up in the lives of their friends. Imagine the people whose mountains will seem a little flatter because we took the initiative to sit with them. Imagine what people might experience because we chose to give as an extension of Jesus' generosity to us. Imagine the dent we can make in the stories of the people in our world if we friended like Jesus friended. Somebody who's sitting around and just longing for someone to take initiative and ask the question, how's it going and what can I do? And whatever you say, you will be met with a tender truthfulness on my account. What a blessing this season would be. So here's what I'm saying to you. If there is somebody you've been thinking like, I need to call them back, skip the football game. If there's somebody you're stirred like, I need to check in on them. If there's somebody you feel like, I need to ask the question like, am I safe to you? Ask the question. If there's somebody you need to check in on, like, how are you doing? Do it. Let's be friends like Jesus is to us. who steps into our messes and we can be ourselves with him. And in all of our sin, he meets us where we are and then journeys in tenderness and truthfulness towards our best. Jesus, thank you for being our friend. Help us to be friends like you. It's in your name we pray.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to see you in person next Sunday at either 9 or 10:45 a.m. at the Warsaw High School Performing Arts Center. For more information, visit us at missionpoint.net. Have a great week.